one of 700 radio show hosts included in the book, Radio Wants You, an intimate portrait of 700 radio shows that welcome guests.
What a loser.
And this is Interviews from the Past and Present, now available on JiggyJaguar.com.
I was really surprised about that.
Back here on the world-famous Jiggy Jaguar Experience over there at www.JiggyJaguar.com. Got a great guest today. Janice Kephart's on with us today. The topic is verdict, Iran, 9/11. They are they're probably behind it, kids. Federal judge finds Iran and Hezbollah culpable in attacks. Janice Kephart is with us today. She has been with us before, and she's a great guest. And Janice, tell us a little bit about this topic.
Okay, Jiggy, just so you know, you're going in and out on me a little bit, but sure, let me give you some background on the case. What we have come across is a substantial amount of evidence, both documentary and from Iranian defectors who were in the Iranian intelligence service, who have corroborated, and their testimony has been verified and deemed credible, that Iran not only tacitly supported Al-Qaeda and their efforts against the United States, but the actual 9/11 plan itself was an Iran plan from the 1980s, and Al-Qaeda was simply the proxy to carry out that plan, so Iran would have no culpability. It is a serious allegation, but the evidence was determined over the course of 8 years, and there are hundreds of pages substantiating the evidence.
This is an amazing stuff here. We've got Janice Kephart with us today. Janice, give us a little bit more information on this. This is just an incredible
story. Okay, sure. Basically, what you have is a situation historically whereby back in the 1980s, when the current Ayatollah took power, he decided to create his own intelligence service, which folks know as the MOIS. In that intelligence service, there was a great amount of discussion against how to defeat the United States and Israel. And they decided during that time that any direct hit against the United States, which Iran could be culpable, would be devastating for the country because they knew America could take Iran out in a heartbeat. So what they decided instead, they came up with a series of asymmetric warfare plans that included chemical bombs, dirty bombs, and one of the plans, called Satan in Hell in translation, was to crash civilian airliners into major U.S. cities, Chicago, the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon, and the White House. This was back in the 1980s. Over the course of time, in 1993, Al-Qaeda met at the request of senior Islamic leaders, Osama bin Laden, al-Zawahiri, met with senior Hezbollah, the leader of the Hezbollah organization, and the most senior members of Iran. And they decided to, the best way to defeat America and Israel was to put their differences of Sunni Shia aside and come together. And what evolved over the course of time was Iran backing all the major terrorist events of the 1990s that we thought were either Hezbollah or Al-Qaeda only were actually all backed by Iran. We know Iran's relationship with Hezbollah, so we're not surprised by any of that. But, for example, the African embassy bombings in 1998, those were both backed by Iran. The USS Cole in the late 1990s, that was backed by Iran. And the Khobar Towers attack that killed, Air Force personnel in 1996 was Saudi Hezbollah. That was backed by Iran as well. They directed it, they funded it, etc. When 9/11 came about, how 9/11 came about was discussions between al-Zawahiri, the sort of the operational head of al-Qaeda, deep inside Iran. And what they did was once the 9/11 hijackers were able to acquire U.S. visas, they were then in October, November, the fall of 2000, they were then basically renditioned into Iran for further training. And Iran had acquired a Boeing software and an Airbus simulator from China, which they used to help train the hijackers. And then also, of course, did all the travel facilitation. They flew them in and out of Iran, etc. And then once the hijackers got to the United States, they were trained and they were ready to roll. There was a document from the two heads of intelligence inside of Iran from May 2001 that is part of the of this case that I'm an expert in, that in translation discusses how Iran has to stay hands-off and non-culpable in the pending Satan in Hell attack, and that's discussed in the memo, and how Al-Qaeda basically has to take the fall. And of course, the Shia were not going to have a problem with Al-Qaeda taking the fall and being taken out, because in the end, the rivalry is still there between the Sunni and the Shia. So Al-Qaeda was a perfect proxy, and basically, as Al-Qaeda proved itself and its ability to kill Americans in the 1990s, Iran paid more and more attention to them and had more and more faith in their ability till the attack on the U.S. homeland came into fruition and was hatched. And it became sort of the perfect way for Iran to attack us. And, of course, our response subsequently was did not include Iran, and we went after Iraq, and that is all history. They're one of their, you know, Saddam being one of their biggest enemies. They were in war with Iran with Iraq for many years, and we have helped them, and we've helped Hezbollah out tremendously by only focusing on Iraq, Afghanistan, and Al Qaeda for all these years.
Janice Kephart with us today here on the Big Show, talking about this horrific connection here with Iran and Hezbollah, and just this amazing amazing situation that's going on. Tell us a little bit about this Washington Times article that was written on December 30th.
Okay, right. I am an expert witness in this case. The case, it's actually, just so folks know the background of this information a little more, this is a plaintiff's case that was brought on behalf of the 9/11 victims by plaintiff's attorneys. It originally did not include Hezbollah in the original complaint. Over the course of time, the evidence against Iran was accrued, and it took 8 years to develop this case. There are three Iranian defectors involved with the case. All of their affidavits are under seal. Because I'm an expert in the case, and because I understand a good portion of this type of information, the attorneys let me have a summary of one of the sealed affidavits. And that is what I wrote about in the Washington Times article of December 30th. I basically give the lead of the story of this former very senior MOIS intelligence officer who had helped form the MOIS, was personally connected to the Ayatollah, to Rafsanjani, as well as he was the ambassador to France. He was actually expelled by France. He then became the head of espionage for Iran for all of Western Europe. He had a falling out with hardliners in the early 1990s. He was slated for assassination himself. He had a lot of friends in Iran. They alerted him. He fled to Germany and became a protected witness in Germany in a series of cases involving brutal murders of dissidents that had fled to Germany that Iran was killing outright in Germany. He became a major witness there. He learned of the attacks, of the pending attacks in July of 2001 through coded messages that were sent to him. And he tried to tell the German authorities. They told him that it was, quote-unquote, taken care of. He never knew if it was relayed to the Americans or not. We don't know. I don't know at this time if it was ever relayed to the Americans or not, that this pending attack was out there. But he tried to relay the information. And after 9/11, you know, he knew that it had indeed happened. He approached an investigative journalist who was an expert on Iran. He gave them the internal document from May of 2001, and he told his story. And from that point on, they were able to find, over the course of years, a number of defectors that were then vetted by CIA, by analysts, Mideast analysts from the CIA, who all verified their credibility, etc. So it was a long road to gather all this information, extremely meticulous work. It's basically part two of the 9/11 Commission report. The 9/11 Commission report that we did focuses, of course, only on Al-Qaeda primarily and the Taliban. And we, you know, we got all that down. The fact that, and we have two pages on Iran in the final report. We asked the U.S. government to look further into it. We knew there was some connection there. We didn't know, of course, the extent of the connection at all. And the U.S. government never did that. And our foreign policy, of course, over the last 10 years totally reflects that.
Janice Kephart with us today here on The Big Show. You can check out her website, cis.org. Amazing, amazing website over there. Today we're talking about Verdict, Iran Behind 9/11. Federal judge finds Iran and Hezbollah culpable in the attacks. Now, Janice, give us a little bit more information on this. This is just astounding to me that that this has kind of just gone under the mainstream media's nose, and we're just now learning about this whole thing.
Right. So, I mean, there's lots to talk about. If folks want to actually read the findings of fact that the judge actually signed verbatim, he didn't even, like, he read all the materials under seal, everything, and listened to the attorneys. He never called the experts for into the hearing at all. I thought I was going to have to testify. I never did. It was such overwhelming evidence. There was such deep, I have not had access to the other sealed affidavits, but as I understand it, they provide deep knowledge of people who are actually in the meetings, Iranians who are actually in the meetings planning 9/11, with Ighmam Munia, who at the time was the head of Hezbollah and was responsible for more American deaths up till 9/11 than anybody else was in the terrorist world. He did the training for the event. He actually accompanied the hijackers in and out of Iran once they received their U.S. visas, which was my part of the case. The travel part of it was my part of the case. So there was a tremendous, I mean, there was a hands-on the, you know, these young muscle hijackers from that were Saudis. They actually, you know, took into Iran and out of Iran. And apparently there was even surveillance on the hijackers once they got back to Saudi Arabia by Iran so that they, to make sure that they did not tattle and they did not let the cat out of the bag. So the Iranians were very, very concerned about anybody being able to tag them in this event at all. And so it's become a very interesting set of circumstances. But the legal memo in the case and the findings of fact give a tremendous amount of information. And the experts in the case, there's an investigative journalist that's an Israeli who is world-renowned in what he does. He has very close relationships with the Israeli intelligence, and he, the main defector in the case that I talk about, who is in Germany now, or I believe he's in Germany, he was actually part of a corps of Iranians called the Assassins. They were the nastiest group of Iranians. They were the ones who were going out actually, you know, carrying out the murders of dissidents and doing the really heavy duty, sort of what we would call special ops, in a very negative way, for the Iranian government. So this defector that we have as part of this case was very much part and parcel of what was going on in Iran up until the early 90s. And then the other defectors take us up closer to 2001. So we have those, and we've got two CIA experts. Both had each of them had 25 years in the CIA in the Middle East as supervisors. They reviewed all the videotape of all of the defectors, determined who was credible and who they believed was not credible, and only the ones that were deemed credible by them were actually included in this case. So, and there's a couple investigative journalists, there's a, and some other folks who are experts in Sunni-Shia relations and that sort of thing. So the case was very meticulously done, and I say that perhaps sounding a little defensively, but people have asked, you know, really, you know, is this true? How could it be true? I've been involved with this case for about 4 or 5 years, and I've been extremely impressed with the incredible attention to detail and to facts that these attorneys have had, correcting me on numerous occasions when I, you know, said should instead of would, you know, that sort of thing. Very, very careful about what they did. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because they have now a huge judgment against Iran, but they may never collect against Iran at all. They may never collect on behalf of the victims because they may not be able to, you know, get the, be able to squeeze the money out of Iran for this case. But they really did it as a public service in the end. As time went on, they just decided that it was just so important they had to get the information out there. So I'm really proud to be part of this piece of history. I don't think it rewrites 9/11. I think it just adds another piece to 9/11 that's really substantial.
Janice Kephart with us today. Verdict: Iran behind 9/11. Federal judge finds Iran and Hezbollah culpable in the attacks. And you can get more information on Janice and all the different things that she's working on over there at www.cis.org. As we go, give us some of the top headlines and some of the things you're working on over there at cis.org.
I continue to work on Hezbollah on the southwest border. I've been working on that for about 5 months, and it's very interesting because the dynamic of that picture keeps changing. I think people are becoming more and more aware of the fact that we've got another terrorist organization that's problematic on our southwest border, including its Iran's relationship with Venezuela and that whole network. And basically with the theme of that being that the facilitation of terrorist travel by state sponsors is really harmful, and that we have to stay vigilant on border security because it really is pivotal to national security. The fact that Iran did so much to facilitate the travel of the 9/11 hijackers so that the Saudis would never catch them really helped make sure that 9/11 could happen. Otherwise, it could have been stopped way before the hijackers ever reached America. So that's one piece. I'm also working on secure driver's license, where we are today, Real ID, the Real ID law, where we are today, on compliance with better standards for credentialing, which helps protect significantly against identity theft and against, you know, terrorists getting credentials. So there's that piece. I've also done a couple of really big pieces on watch listing. I released a piece right before Christmas on the fact that we have 20 to 30,000 terrorists in the country right now that the intelligence and law enforcement community is well aware are here, and that made it through, even though they were watch list, they made it through our border system. And, you know, what is it that we're doing about that at this point? And what is wrong with our border system that we're still not keeping terrorists out? And so those are just some of the things that I'm working on.
Well, you guys do some amazing stuff over there, and I always appreciate having you guys on and getting your insight on the topics of the day. And just an amazing website. Go over to cis.org. And Janice, have yourself a wonderful start of the year, and we'll catch up with you in the next couple weeks.
Thanks, Jiggy. Really appreciate you having me on.
Definitely. Have yourself a good day. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Janice. Janice Kephart here on the world-famous Jiggy Jaguar Experience. You want to get more information on her, it's cis.org. Amazing, amazing stuff that she's putting up over there, as well as some of the other things over there from the good friends at cis.org. We've got more coming up here in a few moments. If you want to get some more information and follow these guys on Twitter, it's twitter.com/www.cis.org. That's right, at www.cis.org, and you can find them at www.cis.org. CIS.org. We've got more when we get back here on the world famous Jiggy Jaguar Experience.
There's something very, very wrong with us.
I feel like such an idiot.
Quite right, so you should.
We're mutants.
Oh, ungratefully.
Find out more at JiggyJaguar.com.